gentlemen, boys and girls, children and women, animals and frogs, eyeballs and single legs. Welcome to this episode of Magic the Amateuring, where two magic amateurs learn from a magic relative expert how to sort of play the game Magic the Gathering.
Magic!
Welcome everybody to a show where when we say relative expert, we don't mean that he's related to us.
No.
We're saying in comparison to two amateurs, this man is an expert.
But also, we do not have the conclusive genealogical research to show that we're not somehow related either.
Oh my
so
god.
So we might be.
So welcome.
Hey everybody, I'm one of your amateurs. My name's Maria.
My name is Megan, and I'm another amateur.
I was just gonna say hi, Maria.
Oh, hi, Ben. That's Ben.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Ben.
I'm Ben, and I'm a relative expert, which means I'm an expert and I'm relatable.
Hey, everybody out there. Have you just started playing Magic? Have you maybe played Magic for a long time but are still like WTF? Maybe you're getting back into the game. Maybe you were in a coma.
Did someone hit you with a dart that instead of poison has an addictive agent and it addicts you to magic?
Yes.
Then you're in the right place.
Oh, good. On today's episode, we're talking about all sorts of stuff, including different kinds of drafts you can play on Magic Online. We've got a card of the week for you, flavor text theater, and Megan and I have some super awkward great moments in addiction that you're definitely going to want to stick around for.
Mm-hmm. For the noobs.
Hey.
Hey, I'm a noob. What do you have for me?
Some ice cream. Do you want this ice cream,
thank
noob?
You for the ice cream.
Noob! 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 Never take ice cream from a stranger!
What? Why not? I want to eat ice cream.
I want you to take one lick of that ice cream, noob.
Okay, here we go. I'm getting my tongue out.
It's a razor blade.
Oh, no!
That's a lesson for all
learned.
Of us.
It's moving down to my voice box.
Oh, God. This is way more gruesome than I thought it would be.
Wow.
Jesus, that really sounded like your lung was punctured.
Yeah.
It was.
Let that be a lesson to you noobs out there. Never take candy from a stranger. And
never lick an ice cream cone that you didn't watch someone scoop.
Guys, I just went to get a carbonated water. What happened to the noob?
Oh, nothing illegal.
You didn't flush him down the toilet again, did you?
No.
Not this week.
We accidentally killed him with a... Not accidentally. It was on purpose. It was supposed to be a lesson, but now he's dead.
So I guess he really learned it.
Well, as long as he learned something right before he died, that's what's important.
All right. Well, besides don't eat ice cream given to you by strangers, we have another lesson for you noobs this week. We're going to give you a little rundown of the different draft types that you can do on Modo.
What the heck is Modo, Megan?
It's Magic Online.
What?
Oh, you mean MTGO.
Yes, these days it's called Magic the Gathering Online, or MTGO. But for old folks that play it, it's Modo, because its old name was Magic Online with Digital Objects.
Thanks, I'm caught up.
Dumb name.
I'm caught up.
Really, it's really pretty stupid. But they fixed it.
Did you guys ever read that miniseries, Crisis on Infinite Magic Onlines?
No. Can you give us a little plot summary?
Yeah, well, the Magic server and the anti-Magic server were in a battle, and the anti-Magic server was destroying different Magic the Gathering Online versions, and then eventually they unified it all into one continuity.
Sounds
fascinating.
Great.
Sounds great.
Really great.
Well, noobs out there, if you've got yourself a Magic Online account, which, you know, is a fun thing, so I recommend it.
Yeah.
You might be wondering, when you open up your little window and you see all the drafts, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of drafts that you can play. What do they all mean?
And we're not talking about, like, you can do, like, triple Theros or triple M14 or Ravnica block with Dragon's Maze, Gatecrash, and Return to Ravnica. Mm-hmm. We're talking about inside each of those, there's a bunch of different draft
types. There's an orthogonal access.
Yep.
Great. So what are some of those draft types, Maria?
Well, you can play in a Swiss draft, which is probably really similar or exactly the same as the draft you might play at your local game store.
The Swiss draft is the most friendly to the noobs. So if this is for you, maybe that is for you.
Yes.
Swiss draft means you play all three rounds. There's no elimination.
Right.
And every time you win a match, best of three games, you get a pack.
Okay, so what are the pros?
The pros are, if you want to play Magic and you went online to play Magic, you're going to play three rounds of Magic.
Yep, no matter how terribly you built your deck or what horrible hands you kept during your games, you could still play all three rounds.
Quite right.
What are the cons?
The cons would be that when you win the whole gosh darn thing, you only win three packs.
Oh.
Which isn't a whole lot. Not a lot.
Yeah, so you're never actually going to get ahead because the best you can do is win back the packs that you open.
Well, you could sell your cards for tickets.
That's true. Yeah, but you'd have to be opening some reasonable.
Oprah?
And if you get, even if you get second in that, you're still only getting two packs. So you have to win to break even.
But if you feel like you don't have a very good chance, like if you feel like your win rate is going to be lower than most other people online, then hop into the Swiss queue. That's for you.
Yep.
Swiss and queue. It's for you.
As Maria mentioned, it's a great place for newer players to start out. Or even if you're an experienced player in the real world, but you're just getting started on Modo.
Or recovering from a coma. Uh-huh.
Yes. Swiss might still be for you while you're starting out and you're getting used to what the online client is like.
Maybe you were really good at Magic, but you just got divorced.
Right.
And your wife got half of your Magic skill.
Oh, she took all of my skill at mulligans.
Really?
Now you have no mulligan skills.
Your ex-wife, did she specifically ask for that in the divorce?
Yes, and I had to give it to her. She had a great lawyer. My lawyer, I didn't have one.
Wow.
Honestly.
You really should have gotten one. You'd at least be able to, half know when you're supposed to mulligan.
I keep every hand.
Okay, the next draft type is the most popular,
What's
I would
that,
say.
Ben?
It's the best one. It's the 8-4.
The 8-4.
Yeah.
For prize support, this is absolutely the best
top
format.
Of the stack.
Actually, the expected value is the same as Swiss.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
It means the total number of packs that get paid out is the same as in Swiss. It's just distributed differently.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So the expected value of the sweater I'm wearing is $20 because I expect to pay $20 for it.
Do you expect to get $20 for it?
when I sell it.
I would say the expected value of that sweater is one sweater.
Okay. I obviously don't understand this concept.
So what Ben is saying is that in a Swiss, there's the same payout of number of packs.
Right. So, in the 8-4, they're going to give out 12 packs total.
Right.
Only to the top two players. In the Swiss, they're going to give out 12 packs total, and everyone gets at least one pack.
I lied to you. Yes. I did understand it. Yeah. I just want to make the sweater analogy.
Yeah. Nice. So And I'll just define the expected value. That's how many packs you expect to win on average. So if you think you're never going to make it to the finals, then your expected value in an 8-4 is going to be pretty low. But if you think that you might make it to the finals once in a while, then it's probably going to be higher than Swiss.
I have a question for you. When should you make the transition from Swiss to 8-4?
Good question.
Thank you.
I would say... As soon as you're doing Swisses and you're winning a few matches, as soon as you can go 2-1 or so in Swiss, I would move up to 8-4. Part of doing an 8-4 is the practice.
You're going to play against better players.
You're going to play against better players probably in the 8-4 and Don't you want to play? Don't you want to be the very best?
Yes.
Like no one was before?
Yes.
The very best that you can be? That wasn't the next. That's a different song.
That's a different song.
You're the I know. Best
I want to sing your song.
So
that's the 8-4. The upside is you can win more packs. You can actually get ahead sometimes if you get on a lucky streak. But if you don't make it to the finals, you don't get no packs.
You get zero, you guys.
You get zero packs.
And you get a single elimination as well.
Yeah.
So if you want to sit down and play some Magic,
you're losing, you're dead.
Booted.
Yep.
Unless you're talking about games, and then you get one more loss and you're dead.
Right.
But you're losing, you're dead. Unless you lose and then win twice, and then
you're
lose
not
again
dead.
In the next
uh-huh.
round,
uh-huh.
Well,
then
you're
you
not.
Still have one more loss.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
But if you lose and you win and you win and you lose and you lose and you're dead.
Or if you lose and you win and you win and you lose and you win and you lose, you're dead.
Oh my God.
True.
But if you lose and you win and you win and you lose and you win and you win, you're not dead yet.
No. This sounds like a song.
So what are the pros of an 8-4?
More money, more problems.
Better prize payout if you have a better win rate.
There you go. What are the cons?
And you get to play against the best.
What are the cons?
Well, you have to play against the best.
Thank you.
Okay. The cons are single elimination, and if you lose ever a match, you're dead.
Yeah. And if you don't make the finals, no prize payout at all.
So there's another kind of draft right here in the middle, you dudes.
That no one ever plays.
It is okay, called a 4-3-2-2. What the heck is that?
Well, the 4-3-2-2, the numbers refer to the payouts for first, second, third, and fourth place.
And the 2-2 is what you have to wear to play.
No.
Oh.
Incorrect.
Well, I've been wearing a tutu when I play it.
Oh, well, that's, I mean, there's no rule against it.
Okay.
I've been wearing a 4-3 when I play it.
Uh-huh.
I had my 4-3 removed.
Oh, that's right. It's so tragic.
So if you make it, if you win a round in this match, you're going to get at least two packs.
Oh,
and if
thank
you make it to
God.
The finals, you'll get three or four, depending on if you win. In this draft, your expected value is actually less than in an 8-4 and probably less than in a Swiss because fewer packs are given out overall.
So a lot of people will say, oh, I'm good at a Swiss. I'm moving up next level, 4-3-2-2. But the advice is just stay away.
Yeah, I would stay away from the 4-3-2-2. Either play the Swiss or the 8-4 just because... fewer packs.
Don't do anything halfway, fools.
Now, if you don't have the option of playing the 8-4 or Swiss, like sometimes they'll bring back old formats.
Like if somebody puts a gun to your head and says you're playing the 4-3-2-2.
Well, sometimes they'll bring back an old format. Like they brought back the old Ravnica block for a while. And usually when they do that, they're only available in 4-3-2-2.
I swear to God, you're going to play the old Ravnica.
So in that case, I mean, if you want to play it, just go ahead and play it. But I would not play it if I had the option to play Swiss or 8-4. But, you know, that's just how I was raised. It is tempting.
You guys.
You got to do it.
There's one more draft type.
What?
That's scary.
Why, Megan?
Is it blindfold draft?
Is it murder draft?
What? It's murder draft. It's phantom draft.
Ooh. Oh.
Phantom draft is where you draft, but you don't keep the cards.
What?
They just disappear.
Where do they go?
Into the ether.
Card heaven?
Which we disproved. We disproved both an ether and a card heaven.
No.
There are mathematical proofs that are like, nope, those aren't things.
I'm going to cry all night because I thought my chain to the rocks was up there living in card heaven.
Nope. I'm sorry, Maria. Who knows where that chain to the rocks has been?
It had a good life.
You can ask several old men philosophers if you'd like.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
So Phantom draft is not always around, right?
No, I don't think it is always an option.
Also, it's not ever an option, right?
Wait, yes, it is sometimes an option.
When?
I think it's for, I don't know.
There's, I think if you are in, they have 64-man draft events.
Uh-huh.
Where you'll do an 8-man draft, and then the winner will go on to another round. I think sometimes mm-hmm. those events are phantom draft.
I know that I have, in fact, seen online phantom drafts. They might be for newer players.
Yes, you can draft with your... with your new player tickets when you sign up for Magic the Gathering online.
There is a new player Phantom M14 draft that's for 4 players.
Okay.
And it costs 1 event ticket and 1 new player point.
Yeah, those are a thing that you get when you sign up.
I've never used mine.
Me neither.
I signed up before they existed.
You got gypped.
I got gypped. Ben. Man, I feel like I gotta go back in time and... save my 4/3 from being removed.
Back in time.
Good thing I made a time machine out of this gun.
No, Ben, no, it's a real
no,
gun.
No,
Ben,
no, no, no. Wah, 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 wah.
Hey, welcome
guys,
to the
guys, I missed.
80s. Oh. No, where did that guy from the 80s come from then?
God.
Oh, that was my radio. I hit the radio.
We should point out that Phantom Sealed is a thing that happens.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that's the real shit.
Yes.
Phantom Sealed gives you pay, what, 6 event tickets, and you get a sealed pool, but the sealed pool isn't real. And not in the sense that they're not physical cards. They're not even online cards that you get to keep. You just get to use them for the event. And
God,
then after the
what
event,
are they,
they
though?
Evaporate.
They're not even a digital object.
And you don't win packs either. You win Phantom points.
And what good are those to me?
Well, you can use them to play more Phantom events.
Okay.
And that's all they are good for.
Coming up on Magic the Gathering Online, they're doing a special promotion on Tuesdays. They're doing 2-Ticket Tuesdays. Where you can play for 2 tickets in a Phantom event.
A Phantom M14 event, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Phantom M14. So, that's pretty cheap.
Promo.
Whoa. How long does that promo last, man?
Through November.
Wow.
Of 2013.
Participating Magic Online's only.
All rights reserved.
There's also a 4-pack sealed, isn't there?
What does that mean?
Only make a seal deck out of 4-pack?
Yes, I have. I've done this as a practice to get ready for a sealed event where you make a 4-pack sealed deck that's just 30 cards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a little crazy.
It is.
How many lands do you put in there?
Yeah, just a weird number.
13 or 14 or something.
Oh.
And it's super weird because it's the only format where you ever make a 30-card deck. And the mill strategy just...
is bonkers.
Yeah, oh
it's
my
really
God.
Bonkers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I open Jace.
Keep that in mind. If you ever play a 4-pack sealed and you have any way to mill some people,
they introduced this
mill them.
They introduced this format because it was really expensive to do like full sealed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, oh, well, why are we doing anything with one of my legs sealed?
And then they were like, oh, I have an idea. We're going to be able to invent it. That's why a lot of people know what I'm talking about. That's what we're going to invent.
And then somebody brought them a Claritin pill. And suddenly, the world was better.
Thank you for this Claritin pill. Now I'm able to sufficiently... explain the motivation behind the 4-booster sealed format.
Also, we're now British.
I was British the whole time, but Claritin was all she needed to get citizenship.
Ben, by the way, I'm the only one who wears headphones on this podcast when we record. You should become somebody who reads, like, romance requests on the light rock station late at night with that voice.
Julie, if you're listening, we have a message for you from Tony. He's sorry about what his penis did to you. And he wants you back. Now let's take it out with a slow jam.
It's really quite good. Consider it.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of stuff you can do on Magic Online. Those are just some of the kinds of drafts you can play. You can also play, of course, normal
you play mode.
Standard. You just play standard online.
Normal mode.
Normal modo.
Momir Basic, which Ben has talked about on the show before.
Yo.
Listen, can just chat.
Momir Basic, just want to say.
He's never going to stop.
Nope.
The time I've spent with you has been the happiest of my life. And here's a song that's going out right to you. It's Can't Always Get What You Want.
Can't
by always the get by the Rolling want. Stones.
You're fired.
Can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need.
Card of the week.
I've checked and it is actually by the Rolling Stones.
That is true. I could have confirmed that for you. Anyways, a card of the week.
Wow, it's time. It's that time.
What time is it?
Ding dong, card of the week's here.
Hey. Hey,
card of the week. Oh my God, I didn't realize you were going to come over. And yeah. Also, did you fix my doorbell?
I sure did.
Hey,
card. I'm helpful. I fixed your toilet last weekend. You guys were out. I think you were vacationing in Nebraska. I fixed your toilet. I unclogged your sink. I took all the hair out of your shower drain and made a dream catcher with it.
That's weird and super gross. Maria, who did you bring over for card of the week?
I decided to bring over God's Willing for my card of the week.
Oh, whoa.
What the fuck?
Tell us more.
I decided to bring over God's Willing because I want to have a little chat about it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
It's the kind of card when you're drafting and you're like, what should I pick? That doesn't like stand out to you and say, I'm wearing some pasties and a fancy shiny skirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would catch my attention.
Like a gray merchant, that's what a gray merchant's wearing to me.
Oh, okay. Gray merchant means something different to you than it means to me.
Oh, okay.
Keep going.
I mean, like, that's a card that's flashy and you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I want to take it. Mm-hmm. But for me, God's Willing was kind of like, oh, I want to overlook it. But I think it's a really great card and I should pick it more highly than I have been.
I have heard that it's one of the best white commons.
I agree.
I've heard it's the best white common.
Period.
Yeah. LSV in a set review said it was the best white common. And for me, I had to scratch a record when I read that. Because I was like, what?
Wicca, 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 what?
But it's just a, oh, yeah. It
you
is
know,
good.
Do you think it's better than Wingsteed Rider?
Yes.
You're telling me you would pick God's Willing over Wingsteed Rider. No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I would pick the Wingsteed Rider first, but man, I am crossing my fingers that I get another God's Willing because those two cards want to be best friends forever.
Here's the thing about this card.
Okay.
If you have a heroic deck, then as the game progresses, you're putting a lot of risk into one pony, right? It's like you're injecting all of your poker chips into one horse vein.
Specifically, the Wingsteed pony.
That's my favorite mixed metaphor I've ever heard you say.
So if you can just hold up one mana, and save that fucker, from anything your opponent tries to do.
From that Voyage's End.
From Voyage's End.
Griptide.
From any kind of removal.
Sip of Hemlock.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Okay. And let's be honest, because it's a common, if you're playing that white heroic deck, even if you don't have one and you leave up one white mana,
people think you have it.
Like, your opponent is really going to think twice before they cast that removal spell or that bounce spell. And so eventually, like, they might just cast it on you anyways and your bluff gets called.
If your opponent thinks, they're going to think twice.
Have you played some opponents who don't think, Ben?
Yes, I have. Okay. So your opponent is going to think an even number of times.
What?
Either zero or twice, but not once.
Your opponent will not think only once about casting that bounce spell.
True.
They will think at least twice about it.
So in a heroic deck, I would happily have three or four God's Willings.
Okay.
Wow.
That's I would too. I mean, it's great because you can just, you are attacking, you're attacking fast, you're building Voltrons up, you're making your dudes into bigger dudes. If they die, man, you're blown out.
And you get to scry.
And you get to scry.
Good point.
Icing.
Ben, who'd you bring to Card of the Week party?
I brought Narwhal of Hope.
It's not a real card.
This is from an unreleased set.
That's not a card.
What are you guys talking about?
I really wish it was. That's not a card. So let's write it down for later.
What did I call it?
Narwhal of Hope.
That is kind of similar to Megan's card of the week, which I happen to know.
Oh, Maria, do you know the card that I brought over? Have you guys met?
We have. We actually dated in college.
Awkward.
Yeah. Was that at UMD?
Yes. Yeah. At UMD, I dated a hopeful Eidolon. We met at a theater party.
Oh. Of course. Oh, God. Because that hopeful Eidolon is just like so big and starry-eyed about becoming.
Very hopeful.
Like a big Broadway.
But you know.
Big Broadway performer.
College theater party.
Yeah.
Makeout town.
Wow.
Everybody everywhere.
By the way, hopeful Eidolon, I'm sure, is pretty great at making out.
I don't want to talk bad about him because he's standing right here.
Maria, don't you dare say that my guest is... Don't...
Would you rather make out with a baleful Eidolon?
Oh, God, you're right. That's like, would you rather make out with an emo chick or with a chick who's super hyper and happy about everything?
But wait, it's an emo chick who, when she makes out, is going to kill you. Just by kissing you.
I mean, what do you choose? It's a hard choice. Do you want to make out with a happy, bouncy puppy or with the sad slug who's in the corner?
Well, when you call one of them a slug, the puppy. I want to make out with the puppy.
Ben just looks confused.
When you call one of them bouncy, I would say the bouncy.
You guys, hopeful Eidolon is a great, I think, a really also great white common. Especially if you have a deck that has a lot of bestow, because the first time like you bestow it onto something and you gain a bunch of life, and they manage to kill or bounce the thing that you bestowed it onto, and sure you have a little 1/1 that has lifelink, but then you just bestow something new onto that Eidolon, and again you have some, you know, like great lifelinking creature.
Life gain is extremely powerful in Theros Draft.
Especially because you can put it on your big Voltron creature that you've been assembling.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you God's willing it. And
what are you going to do?
Yep.
It's there forever.
It's a bonfire of life gain.
I will say, when you God's willing your own dude, you do want to be careful that you're not going to make your own auras fall off.
That's right.
That has happened to me.
If someone tries to... If someone last breaths your guy that has a... Well, he probably is going to vanquish the foul... You're a guy that has an Eidolon bestowed on him, and you, God's willing, that dude, that Eidolon is going to fall off.
Because you have to name white.
Yes.
Yep.
And the Eidolon is a white enchantment aura. And and one of the protection things is that auras become unattached.
Yeah.
They detach.
So.
I wish I could give my past self protection from girlfriends sometimes, you know what I mean?
So they would just fall off. I feel you, man.
Your boat?
I feel you. I wish I could give my teeth protection from my mouth.
Yeah.
Because your mouth is holding on to your teeth so hard. Really getting you down.
Target gum gets protection from teeth.
Clink, clink, clink.
Oh,
clink,
no. Anyways, hopeful Eidolon really can just do a ton of work, gain you a ton of life.
It's awesome.
Help you assemble some pretty awesome creature. Nice card.
My card of the week is Leaf Crown Dryad.
Oh.
Solid. Also solid.
It's not flashy.
No.
No.
No. It's not a blonde.
No.
No.
It's a brunette.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say, Ben?
I'm trying to say that brunettes are the workhorses of the dating world.
Excuse me? The workhorses?
I don't even know what that means.
Jeez, I thought you guys were supposed to be the smart ones.
Ben, I have a newsflash for you. You're also brunette.
Thank you.
Wow.
This card is a bear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
First of
With
all.
Reach.
It has reach, which usually, whatever, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But it does come in handy once in a while. And then its bestow cost is just very efficient. It's a +2/+2 for 4 mana. And 4 is the cheapest bestow there is.
Yeah. And I have to say, I played this in the PTQ deck that I built a couple weekends ago, I had two Leaf Crown Dryads.
Yeah.
And every time it was in my hand, I just couldn't believe it when I hit four that I could now bestow this creature, because it was like, it's really so freaking cheap for a +2/+2.
Yes, it is a very key, feels a just a keyhole in my curve problems.
Yep.
I'm always building decks that are like, man, if only I had a 2-mana card, that could be a 4-mana card too.
A Leaf Crown Dryad shaped hole in my heart.
Yeah, I need a brunette right now.
So if you're
a brunette,
if you're building
send me
a green,
an email.
If you're building a green deck, Leaf Crown Dryad, definitely one of the commons that you're looking to pick up.
Quite right.
Hopefully a couple of copies of.
What's your card of the week? Shoot us a Twitter at MTAcast and tell us.
Magic the Amateuring, mixing metaphors.
Guys, do you think we could figure out what the noobs card of the week was if we performed an autopsy?
Oh, let's. That's the unethical, Ben.
Right, because his family is fundamentalist Egyptian.
We'd have to exhume the body.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys buried him already?
Yeah.
Yes. We're not heathens. We don't just kill a kid with a razor and ice cream and just leave him to rot.
Guys, did you put him in the grave I dug? Because I was saving that.
Oh. I was wondering why that grave was just there.
Sorry, Ben.
Oh. Derp, derp, derp.
I did my first online Theros draft, you guys.
How did it go? Tell me everything.
It went pretty well. I drafted blue-green, which I think is just in general a really solid plan because blue and green just have some of the best cards.
You know what card's really good in blue-green is Leaf Crown Dryad.
It is excellent. I also was very impressed with Horizon Chimera.
Yep.
I'm actually a pretty big fan of that card.
You know what card's really good against Horizon Chimera? It's
Leaf
Crown Dryad. It's really good against Horizon.
Your point is made, Ben.
We get it. We freaking get it. Anyways, I had a Sea God's Revenge. That was my pick one, pack one. Sweet card, you guys. Won me games. By itself.
You know what card does very little against Sea God's
Revenge? What card, Ben?
What card?
Leaf Crown Dryad.
Okay. There we go. Oh, yeah. All right. So Sea God's Revenge, I won my first two games. I made it to the finals where I played someone who was an MFing rare drafter.
She's so mad about it.
No, I'm not.
We'd
I'm not
all
mad.
Be rare
it's a thing that happens.
We could probably.
Exactly. I really respect it because I think it takes a lot of skill to rare draft and be able to play the deck.
Yeah.
I ain't saying she's a rare drafter, but she ain't messing with no common guy.
Common. That's awesome.
So this guy, game one, played a Hythonia the Cruel.
Ouch.
And then bestowed a Night Howler onto it.
Uh-huh.
I just want you to think about how good that is.
That's not his fault he got both those cards.
No, that's true. That's not his fault. And then the next game, he played, he didn't get out his Hythonia, but he got out Night Howler, which I removed. But then he played Prognostic Sphinx, followed by Polis Crusher, followed by by Boon Seder.
Whoa.
What?
Yes. And also a Temple of Abandon.
This is a lot of colors.
How did he fix his mana
It was a Temple of Triumph. So mind you, that brings us up to like Hythonia, Night Howler, Polis Crusher. I'm trying to think of what. Boon Seder, Prognostic Sphinx, and the Scryland was 6 rares. He had 2 Nylea's Presence and a Voyaging Seder.
Okay.
2 Voyaging Seders, which are actually really good at helping get double colors for double casting.
Super good. So good. Super good.
Just solid, period.
Yeah.
I know. So anyways, very impressive. I found it to be very impressive, but also super frustrating. It's one of those things where it's like, I bestowed a Nimbus Naiad onto my Sedge Scorpion when he played the Prognostic Sphinx. And I'm like, I have this under control. And then he played Polis Crusher, and I was
like,
okay, I'm going to be fine. And then he played Boon Seder, and I was just like, what happened here?
Why are you so cruel, God?
I used to be alive.
Anyways, that was my first theorist Moto experience. Do you think
playing multiple colors like that is viable? Obviously it is.
Yep.
Again, I think it takes a really... It does take a skilled player to do it. And you are incurring a lot of risk. Because you're really... you're just increasing your chances of being mana screwed by a lot. So.
It really just depends on how much fixing you have. Once you get two or three cards that can fix you for multiple colors, it's like, hey, go nuts.
Nelea's presence is pretty great. Yeah. It's also like the quality, like, do you have the quality of cards to make you want to? Like, in that case, all of those cards are really excellent. If I was splashing, I mean, I love the card, but if I only had one Leaf Crown Dryad and that was like my good green card, I don't think I'm going to splash for it, you guys. Probably not.
No.
If there's one
not.
Thing you could do differently, Megan, what is it?
This is not limited to magic.
This is just in life.
In life? Oh, God, you guys. This is a really big question.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, this is called big
would
question.
Would you have prepared better for this question?
I would have prepared better for this question.
Good choice.
Nice.
Good
smart. Choice. Smart.
Thank you.
Flavortext Theater presents Movie Pitches, where Megan and Ben pitch movie ideas based on cards they've just cracked in an M14 set.
Ooh, we had M14 laying around, so.
Okay, so they're each going to take one of the cards, and they're going to have to sell me, the big-time Hollywood executive, on their movie or TV show idea. I've worked in a lot of places. I worked my way up the corporate ladder of Hollywood. Now I'm sitting at the top, ready to reject the worst things I've ever heard. We're ready to accept the best new hottest show for TBS.
Maria.
Hit me.
Sorry I am so early, first of all. It is disrespectful to you that I would show up early or on time at all.
Actually, I...
You're a workhorse of the industry. You don't deserve this.
I'm actually grateful you showed up early. It shows initiative.
I've got a great idea for you.
Okay.
This is the story.
Okay.
Of a woman who was wronged.
Good, good. We need more women shows.
She had a horse and someone stole her horse. And she was mad because she was in platonic love with her horse.
Like she just liked it. This is not some bestiality thing.
No, she loved the horse.
She was in platonic love with it.
Okay.
She loved it like a friend.
Okay.
Yeah, like someone you would friend zone.
Okay.
Or like a sibling.
Loved it like that, yeah. And she said, I'm going to get even.
With who?
With the person that stole the horse and also the horse for leaving her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Revenge tale.
Yeah.
Kind of like Kill Bill.
Yeah. And she's going to do... 4 damage to the horse and 2 damage to the person that stole the horse.
And what do you call the show?
Chandra's Outrage.
What does a horse have to do anything with this?
Well, she's got to be outraged about something.
I'll table it. Next up.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for like giving me a chance to like pitch this movie to you that I've been working on. It's a movie. It's kind of inspired by like Harry Potter and the Hunger Games like combined.
Mm, big hit.
So yeah, it's like about all of these young fire wizards,
oh.
And they're all just like working with fire, and they're like. Man, we all just want to be the best fire wizard out there. And they're put through a whole bunch of tasks. And they're all like really difficult tasks. And after each task, the one who performed the worst dies. And at the end, there's only one of them left. And it's called the Pyromancer's Gauntlet. Because it's a gauntlet and they're pyromancers.
Actually, I think that show would get made. So that's green light.
Okay, Maria, okay. Baby, okay. Don't tie your heartstrings to any specific project as of
right,
yet.
Hit
I've
me.
Still
hit
got
me.
Many more ideas for you, thousands of more ideas for you.
I just want one.
If only we had time to get into all of the ideas. However, I know you're on a limited time schedule.
I have to eat my Caesar
salad. You're
probably
a busy woman with a family or a boyfriend or children or
I
a husband.
I don't have time for love.
Or a lesbian three-way that's been etched into permanence. So I'm just going to get right to it.
Okay.
This is the story of a young boy. He wakes up one day. He's got a gift. How did he get the gift? I don't know. Maybe he found a lucky bowling ball on the street wedged into a drain pipe.
Okay.
It's not important. That's flexible.
Okay, sure.
We'll fit that to the actor or whatever soft drink is popular this month. This story is about a kid with a gift. He can see the future, but not only does he see one future, he sees multiple futures. Oh. How many futures? Well, three. He sees three possible futures.
Cool.
However, the tragedy of the boy is when he looks into the future, all he sees is himself looking farther into the future.
You had me, and now I'm like, that's boring.
It's called Glimpse the Future.
Okay.
All right. Look, I was listening to that last guy, and I just think that I've got something just so much better in the works.
Okay,
for
what do you got?
Right, like, there's this man, and he's living a total life of sin. He, like, drinks, and he gambles, and he only is awake at night, and he just sleeps all during the day, and he's a real, like, alley skulker kind of dude. He walks in the shadows, you know? And then one day, while he's out walking in the shadows, and he's just been gambling, and he's hit rock bottom because he's got no money... Well, then a man comes to him and is like, hey, I see that you're really down on your luck.
Yeah.
I think that you would make a great person who battles evil in the name of God. And he recruits him.
I am not a Christian network.
Wait, just listen. It doesn't have to be like God then. It can just be like a bunch of monks. I'm totally okay. Cool if it's just a bunch of monks. But they're all like superhero monks, but not like Batman because they're not rich. They all grew up in the shadows. And so then he becomes a superhero monk who also recruits other superhero monks. I call this show Shadowborn Apostle.
That is pretty catchy. I do like the idea of a monk who fights crime. Yeah.
Maria, what do you think about a porno named Ring Flesh?
You're hired. Let's make this happen.
Wait! What do you think about the tale of a woman who used to be a prostitute, but then she met a man who she was so in love with that she couldn't sell him sex because she just liked him that much?
It's called Pretty Woman.
It's called Dark Favor.
Great moments in addiction.
What?
You guys... Magic the Gathering is an addictive game. We're all free to admit it. That's the first step.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My teeth are falling out.
I've lost 30 pounds. and Megan and I, from time to time, share some stories from our life that prove our addiction. Megan, what do you have to share with the group this week?
So you guys, I recently was on eBay, just...
Cruising eBay.
Cruising eBay. No, because I was looking into, I still have this box of M14 that I won, that I'm just like, I don't know what to do with this box of M14.
You don't want to light it for
exactly. Kingling. So I was just looking at like, oh, how much could I potentially sell it for if I ended up wanting to sell it? And while I was on there, I was like, oh man, I can buy 4 Shocklands for $30 and they're worth $10 a piece right now and they're only going to go up in value. So then I bought 4 Shocklands.
Oh, no.
And then I bought 4 more Shocklands. And then I bid on 2 other sets of 4 more Shocklands each. And we're just waiting to see
that's
going to...
That's just smart investing.
Ben, do you exactly. think that this is a smart thing to do?
Sure.
I mean...
If you don't mind spending the time managing, like, buying and selling and holding them until...
The right time.
Yeah.
So my
that's money you could be spending on getting your teeth whitened.
Yeah. I also bought a Thoughtseize for $13. Yep. So that's also only going to go up in value.
Yep.
That's smart.
Yeah. So on the one hand, it is like I'm only doing it because it's like one, these cards, you can sometimes find them on eBay and they are undervalued on there. And two, it's cards whose value is going to go up. In the coming year or more. So you do have to be willing to hold on to them. You do have to be willing to take a little time out of your day and find them on eBay. But a little tip, all I've been doing is that even if something has several days left on the bidding, you can just put in the maximum amount that you were willing to pay, which, so just figure out if you're like, I only want to pay at most $8 for a Shockland, then you can put in 32, and then it will just, eBay will bid for you in increments. So you don't have to, you don't have to be on there to manage it the whole time.
It's called a spooky scarecrow auction.
That is not what it's called.
That doesn't make any sense.
It is called that so far by one person.
Is it you?
It is me. Yep. But after this, I'm guessing it's going to skyrocket to at least two people.
Maria, what is your moment in addiction?
Well, it's a little embarrassing to admit, which is why, you know, it's a moment in addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, as you know, I've been playing a lot of Theros Draft online because I've been doing pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I was playing and I built a deck that I was not happy with. It was not very good. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't coming together. You know, you've all had those kinds of drafts where you're like, ah, this is kind of poopy. But I want to still play it out because I want to try and at least get maybe a pack or two out of this draft.
Yeah, I gotta squeeze a pack out of this poop.
Right? But no, I was determined, like, I can do better than this, right? That was the feeling that came over me. Ben just looked so shocked. So I decided to do something that I've never done before. Do you guys want to guess what it is?
What did you do?
You quit your job. You got a new job. Did you just quit the draft?
Did you just drop that draft and start a new one?
I double queued.
Oh.
Whoa.
I've never done it before, and I would never do it again. This is a word of warning. Yeah. I don't know how some people out there can do it. They probably timed it better than I did.
Wait, when did you start?
I thought I figured it out, but I sure didn't.
When did you start the next draft?
Probably in between after my first round ended in miserable failure, I'm assuming.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought maybe you started before your first round.
No, I did not. And it's not quite that bad. But
I think that's usually when people do it, but usually they'll try to gauge, oh, how much time do I have until the next round starts?
Right. Does but it look you, like
you, you, you can look at how many games other people have finished and okay. try to figure out if you're gonna have a few minutes or you gotta get with it. But yeah, I've only done it once or twice and it gets stressful.
It is very stressful, and like I did not play well because of the stress of it, and I was trying to play quickly in both of my matches. I almost timed out in one of them, which has never happened to me.
Oh. I still remember this one where I was like double queuing and my opponent's like, oh, I cast Sacred Vampire. I'm like, all right, whatever. And I'm like, ah, oh, that'd probably be good to Essence Scatter. Probably didn't want to save that Essence Scatter.
Uber something better than Sanger Vampire.
Better than that 4/4 flyer.
Yeah, hold on to that. Hold on to that, Ben. So you guys, just like drop out if you're like, I mean,
if you think that your deck sucks, just don't play it.
It was not
or
smart.
Or suck it up and play it.
It
out.
Was not smart, but it was definitely. Definitely a great moment in addiction. So learn from my mistake, double queuing, not for the faint of heart.
When you're waiting for one heroin needle to be sterilized.
Don't just grab another one. Have some patience.
So true. So true.
My moment of addiction is that I bought a magic box on Amazon.com.
What are you going to do with it?
Put magic cards in it.
What box?
Wait, no, just like a box? Like a cardboard, like a four-row box.
How
to
much
put
did
cards
that cost
in.
You?
Just because I have cards like all over every surface in my house. Yeah, it was like $9.
That's a real okay. Thing. That's pretty good. We have a create a card this week. Mm-hmm. Narwhal of Hope.
Narwhal of Hope. It's a blue card.
Obviously.
It's a white card.
Ooh, it's a blue-white card.
Yeah, it's a blue-white card.
Okay.
It's a blue-white card.
Because narwhals are blue.
And hope is white.
And unicorns are white. And if any part of a narwhal is unicorn.
Right.
The Narwhal of Hope is a creature type...
Narwhal.
Narwhal. But I want it to be like a flying narwhal.
Well, you don't figure that out.
Narwhal in the sky. Creature... creature type narwhal in the sky?
Okay, I have an idea.
Go.
Narwhal of Hope is a 4/4 mm-hmm. for 2 white blue.
Wow.
Narwhal of Hope cannot attack unless your opponent controls an island. If you are going to win the game, Narwhal of Hope gets +1/+1 and flying.
That's super weird.
I have one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Narwhal of Hope. I don't know, you know, how much it costs or anything, but when Narwhal of Hope enters the battlefield, toss a little frisbee ring around Narwhal's horn. At any point in the game, tap Narwhal of Hope and remove its little frisbee from around its little horn and search through your library to find your highest cost casting card. You may play that casting card without paying its mana cost.
I don't think I understood any of what you just said.
It's like a wish counter.
Okay.
How about Narwhal of Hope? It's a 5-mana 3/3. And when Narwhal of Hope enters the battlefield, you may search your library, find nothing, and then shuffle your library.
Search your library for a harpoon.
You just search, search your library and just like reflect on what's
coming, maybe.
What's coming someday.
Yeah.
And then shuffle.
Refamiliarize yourself with it.
Yeah. I think Narwhal of Hope is a 4/4 flyer. For 3 blue white, and when it attacks, you can send a creature to heaven.
You told me,
which means
there is no card heaven.
Okay, but this is just like, this is instead of graveyard or exile, we're creating a new zone. There's a new zone called heaven, and. And when a creature goes to heaven, you can bring it back during your turn only, and it has lifelink, but then it goes back to heaven at the end of your turn.
I think it's exiled at the end. You can only use it once.
You think it only comes back from heaven once?
I kind of like that, man. It's kind of cool.
But you have to sacrifice it in order to put it in heaven. So I think it can come. It comes back from heaven, but it's not there. It's not around to block. It's only around during your turn. It has lifelink.
That's pretty cool.
Very elegant.
Yeah, this set design is just nothing but a ball gown.
Thank you. So, and once the narwhal has attacked and the creature has been sent to heaven, then like that cycle is just activated. And if you attack with narwhal again, you can send a different creature to heaven. You may not send the narwhal to heaven.
Aww, all narwhals go to heaven.
Now that's a movie idea I'm interested in. Well, you guys, that's our show for this week.
Yep, you have done it.
Ben, is there any final words you want to give?
Yeah, just... the next time you play Magic with someone, just...
kiss them on the face.
Yeah, just go in.
Appreciate like, them.
Magic is always better with a little tongue.
So, we've always suggested, you know, good luck, high five.
Yeah.
Now it's good luck, high five.
Tongue. Oh.
No, good luck, high five, mouth to mouth.
Good luck, have fun with my tongue.
You guys, I've been saying good luck high five on Magic Online. I want you to know.
Yeah, me too.
Good.
It's my favorite new thing to say.
I've been saying it in person.
Listeners, I hope you continue this trend. Do it at your store. Good luck high five. We're trying to make it a thing because good luck have fun is quite frankly stupid.
I mean, if you high five, you're automatically having fun.
Right.
Yep.
Have you ever high fived when you weren't having fun?
Oh, man, this pizza is really mediocre.
High five.
Nobody has ever done that.
It's true.
Ever.
You can contact us with stories about how you've sadly high-fived someone at magictheamateuring@gmail.com.
You can tweet us at MTAcast.
You can search out our website, magicTheAmaturing.com.
You can also find us on themeetery.org, which is a sweet social Magic the Gathering website.
Megan and I write an article on there every week. Come
we
read them.
We sure do.
You can also bleep us on the Bleep Network.
That's true.
If you first invent the Bleep Network and send us an invite.
Send us a bleep.
Send us a bleep. To our bleep account. You can find us occasionally online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I am Middle Schooler.
I'm Horny _ Unicorny.
And that's on Magic Online.
That's right.
Modo.
And always remember.
We'll be playing with our digital objects.
Always remember to download us on iTunes or subscribe. Leave us a review and we'll make a pun of your username on the show.
Or... do one of those things in the hotel lobby where you make a waffle. They give you the batter and a cup and you make it. That's good too.
It's the yum. Remix to Ignition. It's hot and fresh out the kitchen.
It's not related to podcasting, but it is a fun
related
alternative.
Related to deliciousness. Yeah. Bye, you fools!
Bye.
Bye.
Get out of here, goat. Quit chewing on that noob.